This week's episode is sponsored by Sole Roots Running Company, where you can find the best covers for your feet that make you travel comfortably and quickly across sidewalks like Shel Silverstein. Sole Roots offers all varieties of running shoes, clothes, and accessories. And for 10% off, please use the code SCENE, S-C-E-N-E, at checkout. And any order over $180 is free to ship anywhere in the continental United States. Head over to shop.soulrootsracing.com and fill up your cart for 10% off with the code SCENE. And welcome to the Scene Weekly podcast, where we hearken back to our college debate days and pick two movies the same theme as we toss on our masks and capes and take to the skies to save humanity. This week's episode is focused on Marvel Superhero Showdown, with Thor standing southpaw against Deadpool. Come join Jonathan and Steven for another week of desirably less plot chatter and hopefully more film banter. We are Scene Weekly, and welcome to our world.
It's a big world indeed, man. We're entering the superhero cinematic landscape.
It didn't take us long to sell out. Just trying to get some ratings over here. And I like your new mic, by the way. Can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah. I finally upgraded. I feel like I gained a superpower over here with a little bit more clarity, a little bit more sophistication in this setup. I'm just, you know, it's like another superpower that I've got for this podcast.
Without exaggeration, you sound great.
That's the first time you've actually said something like
no,
that.
No, the problem is you talking. I mean, the way you talk is nasally and whiny. And sometimes I go to bed thinking I just need to find somebody else. But, you know, we're still making it happen. Yeah, I think about that about myself as well. Don't we all? But anyway, here we are. Love you.
Yeah.
Brother,
here we are, and we got a
sure mic though. Upgrade, what a sure upgrade! I like it.
Sure. I'm excited about it. It's gonna elevate this even more. But I think maybe the Marvel showdown here could elevate this podcast a little bit. I mean, we haven't really talked about any kind of superhero films in the past.
Yeah, not really. No, and strangely enough, you know what? The mic, I think I bought my mic on episode 3, maybe 4. So it took you about 41 extra, including golden glasses. Have we not actually done any even like direct super? I don't think we have.
No, we haven't. Yeah. We kind of steered our ship away from that. We did some cinema classics. We did some, you know, some things that are kind of under the radar, which I love. I love to talk about. If you are a new listener joining this podcast, we got some great episodes with some, you know, some obscure titles. And then, I mean, we just recently did The Matrix. So we're kind of all over the place here.
Yeah, the cinema classics seem to have really hit a note with the audience. They the 42 of you or whatever, 25, I can't even remember at this point. Everyone seems to really enjoy that one, and our culinary classics really did well, quite well.
It's all right. We're testing the waters on different things, talking about what we like. And you know what? I actually am a big comic book fan. I've grown up with comic books.
Yeah, you mean you had friends that had comics, and you occasionally used to borrow them?
No, actually, I have a whole stack of comics that I got when I was living in Hawaii. I remember a garage sale.
And a friend of ours,
she was selling them for like 50 cents a pop. And I grabbed like 100 of them. Yeah, they're great.
You have that much money back then?
It was allowance, and it was a little bit of a birthday present kind of thing. But I still have them. It's like classic Spider-Mans. I got Batman with Bane breaking his back. I got Venom ones. I've got some, you know, X-Men comic books. I got them all from the 90s.
I got pretty big into comics myself. One, I still have some. I have the second Silver Surfer, I think would be my most valuable one. I think it's worth maybe, I don't know, $100 or something.
That's pretty good.
Maybe more. But nonetheless, I have lost some along the way. But my cousin Bradley, old Bradley, 6'8", self, loved comics. And I don't even mean to say loved. Like, he was Kevin Smith of comics.
Oh,
like,
really?
He had like thousands of them. And so we would always go to the store in New Jersey, and he would crush, like, buy everything that just came out. And so that was instilled in me at, man, probably like 8 years old, something like that. So from the next 4 years, I definitely collected a significant amount of comics. And with that being said, did you ever have a Thor comic?
You know what? I was looking through my stack of comics, and I don't have a single Thor comic. Obviously, I knew who Thor was before he got entered in the canon of the MCU. But yeah, I never read a Thor comic. Only knew about the Norse mythology, if you will.
I will. I'll have
okay,
you.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, so when I was, and to get directly into it for Deadpool for me, I loved comics. I loved the world that they created, or the different types of worlds that they created. But when Deadpool came around, it changed my entire perspective on, like, comics generally, and the fact of, like, my parents were divorced like a year and a half in from this. I think I was 10 years old or 9 and a half when Deadpool came out. And I remember just needing or wanting a strong desire of this sarcasm, like not taking life too seriously and getting down and, you know, taking the lumps of life as a, you know, preteen. And I remember I just adored Deadpool. And I went from the first to second, and I bought everything. It was my favorite comic, and it still is to this day. And when I heard Ryan Reynolds was actually going to be, you know, I mean, this is like a passion project galore. I think they did 6 years trying to pull this together. I was like, please make this work. Please make this work. And when it actually came out, I mean, it's just a gem of a movie, and pretty much as accurate as a comic book is. You know, some things are off. If you want to be pedantic, 10% off, go to soulrisscompany.com for your latest and greatest new shoes if you need some. But to me, it was like, I didn't understand why it wouldn't be like the greatest comic book ever. And it was kind of like my trivial way to get there is being fucked up your whole life and finding Jesus kind of moment, where I was like, oh my God, this can exist in a comic book. You can be this blatantly sarcastic and not take it so seriously and crack these jokes all the time while kicking ass. This is the greatest thing ever. And then the movie's just like that too. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there was a comic book before it that kind of laid that groundwork of being able to...
It was all serious.
But breaking the fourth wall, like actually talking to the viewer, talking to the reader, and like, you know, making these quips and these jokes and like bringing you in. That just never happened.
Big fan of that. And we're automatically getting into it, but I'm a big fan. And Ryan Reynolds actually talked about in the movie itself that it's funny because the breaking the fourth wall in the movie now is the people like myself who grew up with this comic book, and he's talking to us who know the comic book to begin with. And it's kind of this reiteration of like understanding, hey, you grew up with this and now you get to see it on screen and I get to talk to you. So it's this weird totality of things coming together, which I appreciate. But yeah, big fan. I haven't seen Deadpool and Wolverine, but I heard it's interesting.
I will give you this, like the first Deadpool is the movie, is the Deadpool that you want to watch. If you haven't seen it, to all those viewers, listeners out there, like that's the one that you need to watch, because I think it has the best story. It has the best character art. It's definitely an origin story of who, you know, the Merc with the Mouth is. And yeah, it's just all around. It's great. The Deadpool and Wolverine, while fun seeing, you know, Logan, Hugh Jackman come back and wear the yellow suit, there's just not much of a story there, and it's just kind of cameo central. And
yeah, I heard.
It feels really like
did well though.
And flat. It did well. Did well.
Did well.
Yeah,
but I think, you know, any Deadpool with those two characters, it's probably, you know, it's going to do well. I'm sure Les Miserables did well too. Yeah. So anyway, Deadpool, near and dear to my heart. Now the movie, I would say more of the comic books were really near and dear at that time period in my life, but the movie itself, a lot of fun. I love the introduction. It's just an outstanding introduction. That song was actually chosen basically that was the first bit of the whole movie that had written into the script, was the introduction there with the car chase scene. But what other way to introduce people to Deadpool than that opening sequence?
Absolutely. Yeah, because I think if you're not coming from a comic book perspective and you're going to see this film, you kind of don't know what you're getting into, because like this is what, 2016, and we've been kind of flooded with comic book movies, starting all the way back to, like, you know, Blade and Spider-Man, and then we get into the MCU with Iron Man and Thor, Guardians of the Galaxy are coming through, and they're like bringing in these like really C-list comic books that nobody's ever heard of. and then Deadpool, who, funny enough, like Ryan Reynolds tried to do the Deadpool character in Wolverine films, and they just didn't get it right. They just messed up. And then this coming out, like, this was like Ryan Reynolds' like vision coming into, you know, fruition. This is everything that he wanted. R rating, humor, all of that. He had like a lot of creative control in this, as you can clearly see.
Who was your favorite superhero growing up?
Man, that's an easy one. It was Spider-Man. I was a Peter Parker through and through. I never, unlike you, got into the Deadpool comics, because just the profanity and things like that. My parents wouldn't let me have that. But Spider-Man was my angsty teenage, prepubescent kind of idol, and I just loved the idea of he's the small town, he's living in Manhattan, but he's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, and he's not going to try and save the world, but he's trying to save that the things that are happening in the city, and just the powers that he has, the love interest that he has, the quips that he makes, not directly to the reader, but he makes all these funny quips throughout him, saving the day. Spider-Man, number one.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Yeah, it's funny. I had no idea Guardians of the Galaxy like existed in any way, shape, or form until a movie was about to come out. I'm like, what is
same.
This?
Same. I think 95% of...
Hot take. Hot take. Hot take here. I don't like either. I don't like... Is there three? I don't like any of their movies.
No?
None. Yeah, I think they're all like pretty like lame.
I asked you this question. You've seen most, if not all, of the Marvel superhero movies of the past 15, 18 years, right?
There is one. It starts with an S. It's a character I don't know.
Shang-Chi.
There we go.
That was pretty good.
Not seen. I had no idea that even existed until yesterday.
I almost picked that.
I don't believe I have. I think I've seen all but that. And I've seen many of them multiple times. For example, the Iron Mans, I've seen a lot, and I own all of them, more or less. Yeah, some of them are not so great though.
Some of them. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been watered down to a point where, with all the movies, the TV shows, like, there's been this kind of like inflection point, and people call it superhero fatigue. And I think that definitely does exist, because like so much of our media is this just telling of and retelling of origin stories and superheroes, and finding the most random, like what's coming out this week is Kraven the Hunter by
that?
Sony. It's a villain of Spider-Man, who is, this Russian hunter but Spider-Man is not even going to be in the movie. And that's why these movies fail, like Morbius, Madam Web. Venom did okay, but like you gotta at least inject a little Spider-Man in there, right?
Venom really did okay in the box office?
The first one did, yeah. And then it just, COVID, the second one was during COVID, so you kind of scratch that off. And the third one, just perpetual decline,
I saw the first, and I was like, wow, this is like Tom Hardy, but... wow, this is bad. This really does stink. But, they can't all be hitters. I mean, the Avengers, Infinity War, for example, I mean, it's just like, wow, this is everything that a superhero movie should be. you all also have like the entire universe coming together, basically. And
yeah, it's bringing every single superhero that's pretty much existed in the MCU and like having them fight the ultimate, you know, badass and Thanos. Like, that's going to put butts in the seat.
Yeah.
But it's a good story.
But it's a good story. Legitimately. Yeah. You leave and you're like, wow, that was outstanding. I remember like being done being like, I think I want to watch this again, which is rare superhero movies. I did that with The Batman. Big fan. I watched it with Robert Pattinson. Saw that and I was like, holy hell. First of all, I was like, this is going to be a terrible movie. Like, how can they already get into Batman, like, again, when Christian Bale just crushed this role? And then I was like, what? I can't believe this might be better in my brain. I don't know. Right. Trying to figure it out. Speaking of, we have a guest that's going to be in our future guest, old Nanny, who actually has given the check in the box of coming on for a Batman episode. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's going to be great. Yeah. Speaking with, you know, Batman and all these, you know, superhero things coming out, like there is some kind of like silver lining in some of this. And I will say, like, you know, they've done these spinoffs of TV shows for Marvel movies and things like that. And I just recently watched The Penguin. And it was incredible. Like,
I haven't seen it. It's amazing.
It is amazing. It is amazing. And I highly recommend it. It was a little bit of a slow burn to get into, but like, man, the performances by Colin Farrell, like, incredible. The storyline, great. There's no Batman. Batman, you know, is not nowhere to be seen, but you don't need him because it's just Gotham and like the system in place in Gotham and the corruption. So yeah, that's like one of the few that have been a good spinoff from actually a major superhero film.
People were losing their brains when they're like done, I guess, shooting for the season, and Colin's just talking normally like he would. And we're like, what is happening? He's not the Penguin. I'm like, really?
Yeah, that was good.
You want him to like be forever in that? Anyway, why don't we get into Deadpool? We're dialing into it. Touch and go here. Deadpool, 108 minutes, directed by Tim Miller. Directorial debut in 2016, rated R. There was an Easter egg, or not an Easter egg, but a April Fool's joke by Ryan Reynolds that this was going to be a PG-13 movie. Not a very good April Fool's joke, but like, sure. Action comedy.
NC-17.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes scores it an 85%. Budget is $58 million. Box office $782 million. Did a little good there.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Could you imagine having a $60 million budget? Because it had like a lower budget than basically all Marvel movies, like
every single
one of them, and it just destroyed. Wade Wilson, my favorite character, is a former special forces operative who now works as a mercenary. His world comes crashing down when evil scientist. Let me ask you a question. Do you say Ajax or Ajax? Because anytime I see the name, I think of like the football club, and I'm like, Ajax. It's not Ajax. Ajax is the stuff you put on like your bathroom items. Anyway, tortures, disfigures, and transforms him into Deadpool. The rogue experiment leaves Deadpool with accelerated healing powers and a twisted sense of humor. With help from mutant allies Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead, Deadpool uses his new skills to hunt down the man who nearly destroyed his life. Terrific. It's awesome.
No, it has a story. It has a plot. It has like high stakes. But it's not like we're going to save the world. No, it's like I want to get my face back, and I want to like have my girlfriend love me again and save her. And those are the stakes. Like, it's not,
yeah,
and get revenge on Ajax.
There's definitely a lot of revenge. I mean, we're starting off the movie with revenge. But the one-liners from Reynolds, I mean, you could just basically spend the entire next hour jotting them down and talking about them. But I like how I heard there's over 100 Easter eggs in this movie.
That's
and
a lot.
They're not all listed. I couldn't find them all. So I'd be curious to see. I don't want to do the work, to be honest with you. And you know, somebody else has probably done this.
Just leave them in the comments.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys will comment. But the Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, where, you know, the coming of age story with Judy.
That just got made into a movie, too. So this was before the
really?
Movie came out. Yeah.
Did it really?
I Google searched. I was like, this is 2016. This movie came out in 2023.
About a girl getting her first period. The coming of age story. But like when he's chopping off his arm or cutting off. I love that he references that. And I think he also referenced 127 hours at the same time.
Yeah. Cutting off the arm with James Franco.
Good reference.
Fantastic. A lot of great references. A lot of great just characters involved in the story. Like even like just the subplot of the taxi cab driver and his interest in a young female, but not being able to get her. And Ryan Reynolds is very encouraging of him, setting him up for success.
Yeah, but I really have to say that breaking the fourth wall, it just goes so well with this character in this movie. And then, like, everything is perfect. Like, Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool to me, and Deadpool is Ryan Reynolds. And
it's funny that he's tried, like, he was the Green Lantern before. He struck out on that. And this was what he was always meant to do.
Yeah, and there's actually a direct like nod to that, and like basically saying the costume and the creation of the costume is like, don't make it too green, don't like, there's like these little small nods to like how poorly Green Lantern did and how he doesn't really enjoy the role. But they actually had a bodysuit, I guess, underneath that suit of his. He had to take it out because it was just, he was too big. He was too ripped. Mr. Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Deadpool's kind of like a slim, you know, character in the comics. He's not super buff.
Yeah, he's not a Ryan Reynolds for sure. But I think Ryan Reynolds' sense of humor puts it over. But what are you?
Oh, yeah.
Curious. Compare, you can have a nuanced approach here, but what are your thoughts on having actual humor like this inside of a superhero movie? Because you have the Batman Begins, which is like, not funny, more or less. I mean, maybe you have like one funny shot, maybe with Alfred, you know? Like, what are your thoughts?
It's pretty devoid of humor, yeah.
Consistently humor, like built into it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's all about the intention of the tone of the film. And like, I like Batman Begins. I like The Dark Knight for that reason, that it commits to what it's trying to do. Right.
Yeah.
If there was like, you know, half of it super, super serious and half of it, you know, quippy and funny and stuff like that, I don't think it would work. But
no.
for Deadpool, like it's right out the gun. It's going to be like, we're going to make fun of ourselves. We're going to make fun of superhero movies. We're going to break the fourth wall and we're going to, you know, cut some heads off and it's going to be fun and it's going to be funny and there's going to be a plot. And that's what works.
Do you think you could saw your arm off? 127 hours, saw your arm off of your Deadpool. Deadpool makes sense. I like the little bit, the baby hand, which is hilarious. Like, just, but
you need to leave the
do
room.
Do you think you can? Or like even in the movie Saw, you know?
I would be hanging on the side of the mountain. I wouldn't be, I don't think I could saw my arm off. No,
I don't think 127 hours. He wasn't in a mountain. He was in like a, was he in a mountain? I think it was
like a cave or something.
Yeah.
I never watched it.
That's tough. It was like with that, a dull knife. I didn't watch it either. I mean, what are they going to talk about? Just like, anyway, you would literally just hang out and like just starve to death or like,
I mean, I would like try and get on my phone and call somebody. I have another hand, right?
Let's assume you don't have a phone. What do you do?
Okay.
But you have this this Swiss Army knife. It happens to be very sharp.
Oh, this one's sharp, not dull.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That's a plus. Man, I don't know. I think
how many hours go by before you have this knife in my arm could talk to each other?
I've never been, my brain's never been put in that situation, so I don't know how I would react, but I would think I could have the courage. I could probably do it. Probably. What about you? Do you think you could do it?
Yeah, I could do it for sure. I think I would do it in like 8 hours, give myself 8 hours and just be like, you know what? It's time to go. I need to use my arm. No, I think, after about a 2-day period, I definitely have thoughts like that because you're dehydrated and probably even more dehydrated because of what's going on. Breathing is probably escalated. So 3 or 4 days without water, you're going to be shit out of luck.
I mean, that's torture in and of itself. So it's like, might as well, I mean, you know, do the deed.
I have to say this. The Basil Fawlty reference of Fawlty Towers and John Cleese, when he was talking about, you know, what's his English name? Like Basil Fawlty. Do you know John Cleese's character in Fawlty Towers? Basil Fawlty?
Hotelier? This was one of the references I didn't get, unfortunately. So you can explain it.
Basil Fawlty. Well, John Cleese, he's one of the founding members of the Monty Python. And he played a character in the Fawlty Towers in, I believe, the 70s, where he was a hotel owner and ran an hotel in a very sarcastic manner and was absolutely hysterical. John Cleese is funny in pretty much everything that he does. I love him. And he has an English accent, of course. And so he was making a reference to that. Basil Fawlty is his name. Fawlty Towers is a TV show. But I haven't seen all of Fawlty Towers, and it's been a long time since I've seen it, but big fan. Like the reference, and I thought it was impeccable. It's good stuff. And I'm sure there's like 80 of these that we just don't even think about. We've just overlooked. Like, these words don't make sense to me. But I have to point out.
Yeah.
Have you seen, you know, like a hyperbaric chamber, which, you know, basically is what Deadpool to some extent is getting out of. So like, have you ever seen that dude that just spent his entire existence in a hyperbaric chamber? I think he was like, he got polio at the age of like 8 or something, 7. He just died recently. He spent like 70 years in a hyperbaric chamber that helped him breathe. Could you imagine? And like, in the there's like people helping him and like putting straws like to feed him and stuff. And he just like, but his whole life,
I'm
was
speechless.
That. Could you imagine, I mean, though? Couldn't breathe on his own, just got taken by a disease, and like, I don't know if he's happy. I don't know much about the guy, other than I've seen a video of him being helped to feed. And I thought, that's a rough go. It's a rough go. No running, like, you can't use your hands for anything. And only muscles I believe that he had that were working were his neck muscles and mouth.
Just smoothies all day, every day.
I wonder what smoothie you would like. What would you go for? Would you like a green smoothie? You probably want to switch it up, right?
Yeah,
that would be your extreme joy. Because like, you can't really travel. Do you think the guy's ever been parachuting somewhere? Maybe skydiving?
Absolutely not. No.
Put a special parachute. All right, here we go, Michael. Good luck. No parachute.
That would be a rush.
No, but the hyperbaric chamber, when I was watching this, it reminded me of this guy. We'll call him Jack. I don't know what his name is. I regrettably did not look him up, but it also reminded me of the MGMT music video of Flash Delirium. Have you seen that video?
I don't think so, no.
I don't know why I'm going into hyperbaric chambers. They're completely unrelated to anything in Deadpool. There's really no tie here, but I guess I really like hyperbaric chambers. For Jack,
Wade Wilson, that's kind of where he, you know, he escaped from with the match in his hand. That's basically a hyperbaric chamber. It does tie in.
Flash Delirium. If you've ever seen this music video, which is outstanding. There's one moment in my life, I think I listened to this like 50 times in a row. I just was so addicted. And then I started looking up like the backstory of the shooting of this music video. Getting well off topic, but this is fun. And the two guys in MGMT, they just unironically, I guess I should say, but for taking the piss, they paid a guy, like an actual artist, to do a hyperbaric chamber. Basically, it looks identical to it, but they're like, they have this worm that's being ripped out, spoiler alert, from the keyboardist's throat and then it gets ripped out. Kind of looks like it's an eel, more or less. I don't know if you recall this. And then the eel gets put into the hyperbaric chamber, which looks like a butthole. So it's like the eel goes into the butt. And it was funny when they were like explaining it and being interviewed of like, they just couldn't keep a straight face of being interviewed and saying, yeah, we put it out there. We wanted this like hyperbaric chamber to look like a butthole. And then we talked to the artist and the artist was like, you want to do what? And they paid like tens of thousands, like so much money to get this done. And they needed it to look more like a butthole by the end of it. And then it does. It does look like a butthole. But nonetheless, hyperbaric now chambers. Big fan.
Big fan. Yeah, I got to watch this Flash Delirium music video now that you've brought it up. This sounds right up my alley.
Flash. They're definitely taking the piss with the butthole machine, though. But why don't we get back into it? For whatever it's worth here, you know, going for the superhero movies, you've got two brunettes. As you know, superhero lovers, if you will. So
love
I was
interest,
curious.
Yeah.
Are you a brunette guy, a blonde guy? If you were a superhero, would you go for all?
Right now, I'm not really discriminating on that. But you know, push comes to shove, I'm more of a brunette guy.
Yeah, me too.
Or just darker hair. You know, darker hair.
Me too. Yeah, I've done the blonde for a few years in college. I think I'm done with
the blonde. I just want to reiterate all the ladies that are listening, I'm not really discriminating at the moment. So
Hinge profile, Steven needs anything he can get.
That's not that.
Basil that, not faulty, that. Please take applications today. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you spell blonde, by the way?
Oh, B-L-O-N-D-E. There's an E at the end, right?
Yeah. So, you know, without the E actually is acceptable too.
Well,
what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. It's cute without the E, but I like the E.
You gotta
pronounce the D.
Anyway, I just well off topic on everything here, but superhero movies not a whole lot to talk about, to be fair. But just have to say, breaking the fourth wall. I'm not saying that every movie needs it. But when it's executed correctly, I lose my brain. I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. I just love it. And I love the fact that I would say, though, that, you know, you started off with Iron Man kind of like inputted the humor into these Marvel movies. And it kind of like took it from there. Like even Spider-Man has tons of humor. And most of the movies do. I mean, if you go back to the Superman flicks from like, you know, Christopher Reeve, like not a lot of humor, you know? Batman trilogy, not a whole lot of humor at all. And the Marvel movies tend to really get focused on that humor side of things, which is fun. It makes it fun, but Guardians of the Galaxy, I think it takes it too far. I don't know why I dislike the movie, though, because it seems like everyone very much enjoys it. But nonetheless.
Yeah, I see where your point is. Like sometimes like it's, I don't know if it's directed more at like a, not at our age, obviously, but more of that teen kid audience for Guardians of the Galaxy, but that could be it as well. I will say I did enjoy, you know, Deadpool getting some B-list stars in their movies with Colossus and teenage mega supersonic warhead or whatever her name is. Talk about a D-lister.
Gina, it's just a lovely, like, reiteration of the comic book, and yeah, it might be my favorite superhero movie.
I loved when he was knocking on the X-Men mansion, and he's like, "What? There's only two of you in here in this big old house? Looks like Sony didn't have the budget for more X-Men." Just great.
Yeah, but just a lovely, lovely. I can't believe it's been almost 10 years. I just go back to 91, which I think is when I was 10 years old, 9 and a half. And think at that moment when that came out, I just remember, you know, I'm Taekwondo trying to defend myself and thinking this is the like greatest thing ever to happen besides a Nintendo to me in my life. But I remember that still like very, very fondly. And I remember, again, when they were coming out with Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, I was like the most excited for any superhero movie ever. I was like, I'm pumped. Which there's just
I mean, if you're comparing the feeling and excitement of getting a Nintendo, like you're pretty damn excited, man. Like that's big.
To be abundantly clear, I was much more excited to get that Nintendo. That Nintendo is a top three moment of happiness in my life ever. Full stop. I still have that thought. You and I, when Halo 2 came out, we would play like 8 to 9 hours a day for like a full week. It was outrageous. This Nintendo was that, but like the Halo, we had seen how many games before Halo 2, you know, even Halo 1 we were playing and all the other Nintendo games and Super Nintendo, whatever. But that Nintendo was it. It was like that first, like we had, you know, Mario Brothers and then Zelda. And I was like, I didn't know this could be this. And I was like, what happened? And I was like that 8 hours a day. My mom had to like stop us from playing it. It was terrible. It was addicting, completely addicting. Yeah. But anyway, still, I remember like we were coming home from New Jersey. My aunt bought us the Nintendo. Strangely enough, we wrapped it and it was like an hour and a half late. And I was like, I refuse. It was like 10 p.m. It's like, I refuse to leave this airport without that Nintendo. We're like, it may be delayed, but we're staying here to get it. And then we did. And then, boy, it was the greatest day of my life opening that up. Anyway, Thor's hammer.
That's not the name of the movie. The name of the movie is just Thor. But we will be talking about his hammer. Hammer time. Thor, we're going back to, you know, the first phase of the MCU, 2011, directed by Kenneth Branagh. You might know him from directing Much Ado About Nothing, Hamlet, As You Like It, a lot of Shakespearean kind of films, right? Originally, it was going to be directed by Guillermo del Toro, but he opted out to help out with writing the Hobbit trilogy. Starring Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman, Tom Hiddleston, Stellan Skarsgård, Idris Elba, and Anthony Hopkins. That's a good cast. It's a pretty good cast for a superhero film. Yeah, pretty good.
What?
Budget. Three times the budget than Deadpool, $150 million. It cooped up $450 million at the box office. So it did well. Not as good as Deadpool, mind you, but it did well. 77% on Rotten Tomatoes. Pretty surprised by that. I thought it might be lower. But it's a running time of 114 minutes. And I'll just kind of dive into a short little story of what Thor is all about. It follows the story of Thor, the arrogant prince of Asgard, who was banished to Earth by his father Odin as punishment for his reckless behavior. Stripped of his powers and mighty hammer, Mjolnir, Thor must learn humility while navigating life on Earth. Meanwhile, his mischievous brother Loki schemes to take the throne of Asgard. With the help of scientist Jane Foster and her team, Thor discovers the meaning of heroism, regains his powers, and returns to Asgard to stop Loki's plan. So yeah, Thor losing his power, coming to Earth. And we get to see him try and regain his worthiness of the hammer.
I will say, in terms of humor, which was fun, the unintentional humor, which is pretty much all of it in the world's mixing, could have been terrible, but was excellent.
Yeah, I had a question for you about, like,
are these your chambers?
It's like this mashup of epic fantasy Shakespeare versus small town antics.
Yeah. I thought it was
and
great.
How these worlds collide. Yeah, I think after rewatching it, because I hadn't seen this movie in a long time, and I remembered like here and there about the plot that doesn't really matter, but like what I took away from it was like I really enjoyed the mashup. Like it's like a mixtape of like two opposingly different songs, and somehow it works. I don't
Rap
know why,
and country,
but it does.
And here they are.
Yeah, some people hate it. Some people don't like it at all. But I found it kind of kind of fun, kind of quirky, and just laughable at sometimes in a good way.
I thought it was quirky, but fun, and it worked. Yeah, I thought it was perfect, to be honest with you.
It's funny enough, Anthony Hopkins stated he knew nothing of the comic. Big surprise. But he's like, it's a superhero movie, but with the Shakespeare thrown in. So he's like, I'm down. I'll do it. I'll give it my best shot. And he did. He did a great job as Odin.
That's the pitch? That's what he took to do it? Wow.
Yeah. It's terrific. And with Kenneth Branagh as the director, like people knew him as like, you know, this big, he directed Hamlet, like an unabridged version, 4-hour film, you know, pretty much a masterpiece. And now he's going to do this, like, I would say Thor is like a B-list comic book character, right?
I don't know.
But he's going to do this comic book film?
Great Odin's Raven. Speaking, if you had to give up an eye, which eye would you give up?
I can't blink with my left eye very well. So, and I like to, you know, like not blink, but wink. And you know, like I like, you know, winking is kind of fun sometimes. So I would give up my left eye so I could still do the wink.
Left eye, TLC. So do you know if you're right or left eye dominant? Because if you give up, you know, the wrong eye, you could be screwed.
Is there a test for that? I'm sure there's a test for that. I'll take the test.
Yeah, you can do this and see if it moves.
Yeah, left eye.
I'd give up my left eye and keep my right, because shooting a bow would be very difficult. I'd have to relearn that. Be interesting to. I mean, you could relearn everything, right? But definitely give up that left eye.
Hawkeye, first official appearance in the MCU was this movie. Got to see Jeremy Renner. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
Oh, got it.
But yeah, Hawkeye in this film. You know, Natalie Portman as Jane Foster, love interest, great. What did you think about the Ice Army? Those guys, pretty fearful of them.
When did the Game of Thrones with that? When did that come out?
It seems pretty similar, right? Like, yeah,
it
almost
seems
identical.
Identical. Yeah.
Jotunheim.
Like,
and the Ice King.
They look. Did they use the same makeup?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, man. It's.
When
it's
did Game of Thrones end and begin?
Game of Thrones didn't end until like later in the 2018, something like that. So this was before we even saw, you know, the Night Walkers.
So who did it first? Who wore it first?
Thor.
Who wore it better?
Thor did.
Did they?
Who wore it better? I'd say Game of Thrones wore it better, because this was all CGI. You know, that's kind of my take on it.
2011, Game of Thrones came out, and the White Walkers didn't exist, or did they?
No, they didn't exist. In the books,
Thor
they
wins.
Did.
Thor wins. I mean, that's to me they look the same. Is that like, I don't know. Anyway, they both look great. You know, they did their thing.
Give them everybody gets a trophy here.
Do you think if you were frozen, you'd be more likable?
Like cold blooded? You mean like I'm not cold blooded?
No, like if you were one of them, like you'd be a cooler person to hang out with.
I don't know. I mean, people say I'm pretty cool to begin with.
You're pretty chill,
to be more.
But do you think you'd be more chill, more cool if you were frozen?
I would have to spend a lot of money on my air conditioning bill. That's for sure. Wouldn't like that.
How much is your air conditioning bill?
Not bad.
You have a separate bill, air conditioning, and then you have one for the rest of your electric?
It's completely separate. It's the air conditioning company that bills me of Los Angeles. So,
what are your thoughts on people that say like Thor's hammer is a euphemism? Do you think that they have something to offer?
Like a euphemism for what? Justice?
Like Thor's hammer?
Oh. Who uses that as a euphemism? I'm
I don't know. I just heard it was a rumor.
Oh, wow. That's a fun rumor to spread. Do you think you'd be worthy of Thor's hammer? Like, do you think you could pick it up?
No. There's no way. I couldn't. Impossible. Yeah, I'm a big old pussy. I wouldn't be able to pick up anything. Did you know that it was rumored? I saw this rumor that actually said that Matthew Broderick was actually going to be Thor.
I didn't see that. I saw Daniel Craig. I saw Josh Hartnett, and I saw Triple H.
Could you imagine Matthew Broderick as Thor? You think he'd make a good one? Do you think he'd make some friends?
Yeah, he could make some friends, but I don't think anybody would take that seriously, right? When was this supposed to be made? In the 90s? Well, this is way before Marvel. Like,
no, the director, I guess they have some relationship. He was supposed to, you know, go Shakespearean, full Shakespearean, and kind of, you know, John Travolta in Pulp Fiction, just bringing him back that character, maybe just like reliving that life. I think he could have done it. You don't think so?
No, I think that would have been a terrible, terrible choice. Daniel Craig could have been good, but he's stuck with 007.
What does Thor's hammer not do, honestly? Like, the fact is, like, you know how you learn weapons in martial arts, whatever your martial art is, but he can spin it around and basically create tornadoes and like wind destructions, hurricanes,
lightning.
And then he can actually, lightning, and they actually just smack people with it. Like, what does it not do? Can it like heat up and like shoot fire from it if it like goes so fast? Like, what does it not do, honestly? The thing can
do his taxes.
Like, how fast can it go? Is there a speed for which, like, it, you know, it stops? Anyway, I just think that it's a very universally good hammer. Like, a hammer I have at home just normally puts nails into a wall. Thor's hammer is a little different. I think Matthew Broderick could have crushed that aspect to it, though.
I think the hammer would be more of the star than Matthew Broderick in that sense. Like, that's the key figure in the movie.
One thing about me, though, I can't touch Thor's hammer. I wouldn't be able to pick it up. I'm a little big old wimp, but I am a little like Thor, not as muscular. Clearly, I know that, you know, the camera probably makes us look a little different, even though I'm massively muscular. No, so I was saying, I am a little like Thor. I can't lift up his hammer, but we're similar in the sense that when he gets angry, you know, he starts smashing glasses. That's kind of me. Not in terms of like, just kind of like dumb Neanderthal-like, forcing things. Actually, my friend that came by to use a sauna, he was trying to set up his own sauna. And then just broke the whole thing. Just trying to force it in. I remember making Milt, for example, his buck hunter. And with this guy that was like maybe slightly too drunk and too young and too aggressive. And he was just trying to shove things together. And it was like cheap cardboard that wasn't supposed to be shoved together. Some of it broke. But it reminded me of that guy. And I like Thor, though. Good character. I like how he didn't learn the lingo and jargon of the new world and just stuck to what he was used to.
These are your I need a horse.
Yeah.
any animal will do that I can ride.
It's just like that's so great. Close though to him breaking character. It felt like, whereas like he's going to like start talking like normal on this world, but he never did, which I'm a big fan of. I have to ask a question though. I've never had a Boilermaker in my life. Have you?
Boilermaker, are you talking about the shot where you do a beer and a shot of whiskey or something like that? Yeah, I've done it. I've done that before.
I've done it with soju a ton. I don't know if that necessarily counts. I haven't done it with whiskey, which I think is the exact definition of a Boilermaker. Am I wrong?
Yeah, no, you're not wrong on that. It's beer, shot of whiskey, down the pipe all at once.
And do you have to pour in the whiskey first, or can you drink both?
You just drop the shot separately. Glass in there and just go, you know, kind of like a Jaeger bomb. It's like a bomb, you know, it's one of those.
Yeah, I've never done that.
I don't do those anymore. It's been a long, long, long time since. I don't really go to those kind of bars anymore, Jonathan.
You don't? Why not? Did you used to?
Yeah, of course. College bars. Come on, man. These hole in the walls up at 2 a.m. That's the wrong time to take a Boilermaker is right when the bar is closing. It's just not, it doesn't mix well. But I will say, I have a funny story from my sister, Cynthia, who lived in Australia at the same time as Chris Hemsworth was coming up in acting. And I remember her telling me the story, and I had her reach out to me just so I could talk about it on this podcast. But yeah, she was living in Australia, and she had a good friend who was a makeup artist for this terribly horrible show called Home and Away that like ran for 12, 14 years in Australia. And Chris Hemsworth was a small part. I think he was like 4 or 5 seasons in. And she was at the wrap party, and she was there just meeting, greeting people. And she was standing at the bar having a drink, and Chris Hemsworth walks up to her and like starts chatting her up. And he's like, so what do you do? Thinking like she's in the film industry or something like that.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, I'm a psychologist. And he raised his eyebrows, turned on his heels, and walked away. So apparently maybe he's very opportunistic, as my sister says, or he's terrified of people who are shrinks. So one of the two.
Maybe her breath smelled. There could be multiple of options, you know?
I wouldn't say that. I think her breath was probably pretty good. But yeah, I wasn't there, so I don't know.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah, I like superhero movies. I've seen them all pretty much at this point. I don't think I could watch them consistently.
Yeah, what would be your superhero power of choice? Or if you don't want just one power, like what super comic book character would you want to be?
Yeah, I don't know about the choice thing. Thor's hammer seems really effective. Giving up you'd have to look pretty bad to be Deadpool, but the ability to basically never die, which I don't think I want either. I want Deadpool's sarcasm and humor. That'd be a lot of fun. I mean, that
you could develop that. That's something you could develop.
Not really. No, that's like the best superhero quality to have. Spider-Man's pretty cool because I would like to fly. So either the Superman option, but being able to, I guess Superman. Yeah, being able to fly, it'd be pretty sweet.
Batman? No, you're not going Batman.
Batman has no superpowers.
I mean, he's rich, pretty smart.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. What about you?
Yeah, I thought about this. Like the one power, if I had to choose, like a power, would probably be like invisibility. You just get into places, sneak through. You know, that'd be pretty fun.
You would like Harry Potter's invisibility cloak.
Yeah, like it's like, oh, well, you can't fly. Well, guess what? I can get on, you know, first class on an airplane and sit down if the seat's empty. You know?
It's pretty good. We're talking about superheroes, and you're talking about just having an invisibility cloak to get on a first class airplane. It's just the weirdest thought process.
I'm just saying.
Lasers out of your eyes like Colossus would be pretty sweet. Or what's that guy's name? Not Colossus, but
Cyclops.
No, the big fucker who came to Earth from Loki sent him. Loki? Loki?
Oh, Destroyer. His name's Destroyer.
What a lame name.
That's
pretty powerful.
Yeah, but
that's hilarious.
Like,
I love like superhero movies where like the humans are meeting something from another world or something they haven't seen. There's like, hi, how are you doing? Like, would you like to have a conversation? Oh, 6 of us are dead. What's going on? Like, what? Like, how is this possible yet again? Like, I myself would not be going up to any of these creatures. And I'm an idiot. So there's that. But thank you, Soul Roots, by the way, for sponsoring this fine episode.
That's where I got my Cliftons. I got some in the mail coming.
As do
pretty
I.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I also have another question just kind of to tie this up. Do you stick around for like the post credit scene? Like, do you watch all of those credits just to get that little 30-second snippet at the end?
The answer is yes.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Why did anyone leave?
Well, there are some people that leave. I've heard people, you know, get booed when they leave, but that's a whole nother thing.
You're probably the one who's booing them.
Yeah, I am. That's me. But yeah, both of these movies, I didn't have to sit around and watch. I had a remote control. I could just fast forward, and it was great. Skip the credits and watch the 30 second, you know, teaser trailer for the next movie or what's going to come.
Ratings is going to come. And by the way, when this comes out, I guarantee we will have a website because we have transferred that domain and we have finalized everything that is to be on it. And it's live at sceneweekly.com, sceneweekly.com. You are going to be able to get all of our movie ratings, our origin story, superheroes, how to contact us outside of our social media platforms, and our podcast episodes, which is a lot of fun. Looks dandy. And by the time this drops, we are going to have a completely new rebrand to actually adjust to the colors of that said website, which is fun.
That's going to be great. And, you know, we might even, like, down the future, get inspired with some of your great comments and put some merch out. You know, it's one of those things that might be down the pike.
Bring the hate. I love the hate. Bring all the hate, especially you TikTokers. I love it. Tell me how much of an idiot I am. I want to make shirts of it and sell it. Scene Weekly style, baby, baby.
That's like it. That's what we're going to do.
But anyway, let's rate these movies.
Yeah, I'll go first with Thor.
Okay.
You know, Spider-Man's my number one. Thor is like back of the list. But I will say, like, watching these movies, especially like the Thor Ragnarok. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah, of course you saw that when you've seen them all.
That's excellent.
Oh, it's so funny. It's hilarious in all the right spots. Just weird humor. And really gets the Thor mythos, I think, tone right. But anyways, this movie, Thor, I kind of had little lower expectations going in, but I really enjoyed it. I give it a solid 3 out of 5 glasses.
I give it 3 glasses too, because it's a Thor Rag is better. Thor Rag is actually like probably a 4-star. I remember like finishing that movie and being like, wow, like, they can still do superhero movies quite well. This kind of felt a little disjointed at times. Unsure of itself, possibly. Like,
and they also,
Loki's turning bad and then he's not. It was, you know, a little strange.
It's a constant thing. And they also had the idea to bleach Chris Hemsworth's eyebrows. Like, it just made him look weird.
Have you ever done that before? I've done that once.
My eyebrows? No, I've done my hair for, you know, high school soccer tournaments, but that's it.
I did it once.
I bet you looked stupid.
I have a picture. I'm sure I can find it. And I did look stupid. Yeah. And Deadpool. Let's get into it. So, you know, superhero movies are superhero movies. This score is probably higher than it should be from a cinematic level, but cinematic level. But to me, it's my favorite comic, hands down my favorite comic. And the character, again, is also my favorite character of any of the comic book characters. So I gave it 4.5.
Cool. Love it. I hadn't seen this movie in a while either. Watched Deadpool and Wolverine and was kind of going into this like thinking just, again, low expectations because how like, less of a plot that was and more of that was just like, hey, let's put, you know, this cameo on screen and all of that. This actually had a plot. Like I said, this actually had like, this was like actually the first and one of the rare superhero films that like actually showed sex on screen. Like,
yeah, a lot of booty.
And yeah, you don't get that. Like all of the superheroes in the Marvel Cinematic Universe are just kind of like asexual, which is kind of bad. Like get a little bit more of that. But anyways, Deadpool, great film. I'm giving it a solid 4 out of 5.
Uh-oh, which means we have a dilemma. We can't go quarter star ratings. So this is the fun twist and plot of this movie. Well, we might as well just go four to be overriding it. I mean, it's a superhero movie. I'm going on instinct of what my history is with Deadpool. It's probably a four-star movie. So I'll easily
I get that.
Bring it down to four.
Cool.
But I love it.
All right, no argument there.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't expecting to give it even near four stars when I started this venture yesterday. But here we are.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, Johnny Mnemonic may have a... Do you think we're going to find a movie that's worse? I think it's going to be tough, dude. It's going to be tough.
It will prove difficult, especially like if we're not like really searching for that, and it just kind of happens upon us. Because like there's some movies that are just like The Room or you know, just camp that are so bad it's good.
Friday the 13th. Yeah. I mean, technically speaking, I gave it a half glass and you gave it 1.5 glasses for Johnny. And Friday the 13th, we both gave one. So the average is both. It's equally as bad as Friday the 13th. What's the worst movie, Friday the 13th or Johnny? So terrible. They're equally as bad. They're both one glass movies.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of like the low watermark. There could be something that gets lower. Half star is like our lowest that we go, right? We don't do zeros.
Yeah, I mean, if you make a movie, you go half glass, in my view.
Yeah, if you make a movie, you get a half glass. That's the low watermark.
Yeah. But until next week, what do we have next week?
What do we got? Yeah, what are we doing?
Oh, 4U films.
No, that's episode 50, I believe. We're not there yet.
Oh, you are total... Is it 50?
Yeah, because we're going to do them every 10 on the 10. Mm.
I don't know what we're going to do next. The only one I know that... when I am in Brazil... which is, I guess, 2 weeks from now, we have to do a podcast of best Brazilian movies. But I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do in terms of the next showdown. We'll have to figure it out.
We'll brainstorm, leave some comments, you know, what you'd like to see us do a topic on, and we'll strongly consider it. I don't know.
I would love to do some black and white again. I mean, yeah, we did a Marvel. That. You're going to get hits on this. Now go to the opposite end of the spectrum and lose all the people we just got as
subscribers. A little whiplash. Thank you for subscribing. Here is Metropolis from 1929.
Yeah. And the kid. Thank you.
Yeah.
Until next week.